You're listening to Night Beat on WHB. This is Walt Bonin. It's midnight. We head in the final hour of what is, thank God, a much quieter night than last night. And I reckon there's a man who's also just as glad of that. On the other end of the line, on Victor 2, are we now on the air on Victor 2? Very well, sir. Sheriff Arvin Owsley of Jackson County, how are you, sir?
Walt, we've been busy.
Well, I had a feeling, you know. That was the surest bet in town. But, I read something in the paper where, let's see, what did it say? It seems to me the number 546 was sticking out. Was that the right number?
Past 575 a couple of hours ago.
That's 575, you might say, new customers.
No, that's the total.
Total in?
Total number. In other words, that's up 145 over the daily average.
Their daily average runs 145?
430.
About 430.
Oh, that means total number in the total jail population.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, though, this upsurge, though, has this really filled out every available space?
Oh, yeah,
or suppose somebody suddenly told you, okay...
We have mattresses on the floors out in the data rooms. Cell block, and although we're being furnished some backup from the State Highway Patrol to guard the perimeter of the building, and we have some extra help, this is going to continue for some time. In other words, the prosecutor's office and the judges have been working late hours at night, putting people in jail. It's going to take a long time to process these cases. Have to get them out. But it has, it shows the effect. The much larger number were brought to jail the night before last. We've the police, by taking these socially unmanageable off the street, makes the situation easier for them to control. And it proves that these are a bunch of unmanageable individuals, mostly of the criminal element that
who've been bad news before, huh?
That's right. And but say, getting them off the street makes the work of the police a little better.
On the other hand, turning that little matter around the other way, getting all the unmanageables, or a whale of a lot of the unmanageable individuals off the street, may help the street and may help the police. What is it like to get that many of that incorrigible a group on your hands suddenly in a jail? You, naturally, jails are not exactly Sunday schools any time, but I would think it would add to your problems.
Well,
in
the preparation of food and the handling, it requires more personnel, and that's something we're just going to have to meet. I've got some volunteer help that's assisting me at this time, and I just don't know what we're going to do. After the National Guard, the Highway Patrol, we'll have to go back to the police.
Yeah, because you've got so many of these people, apparently, from what we were hearing from Prosecutor Joe Teasdale earlier tonight, which a very substantial bond has been set. They're not apt to leave your bed and board very soon.
Some of the relatives that are interested call and they find about those $50,000 bonds. They're shocked, but I mean, that's they've had to notice the last few days of what the requirements are, and the fact that we do have the jail loaded with these socially unmanageable makes the eases up the requirements on the police department, National Guard side.
Now, at one point last night when we had, about the time the fire department, when somebody was over there, one time Lynch was over there and asked how many alarms so far tonight, the guy said, in effect, are you kidding? How could you count them? One of them was somewhere up there in the jail. I know it was brief, but it was alarming, you know.
They lit some paper and threw it out. Well, we have I think one of the experts had a couple of weeks ago said, a white elephant there. Well, I've known that for 15 years, but if we have sufficient personnel around, we can manage it pretty well.
White, what do you mean by white elephant? You mean then the construction of the building?
The structure of the jail. Now, it was built 35 years ago, and it was built for security to keep the prisoners in, but without sufficient supervisory personnel, we're unable to observe the prisoners and protect them from each other.
Yeah, and as far as that goes, if that hadn't been somebody throwing something out the window, if it had been a more serious fire, with a handicap of manpower and an oversupply of customers, you could have had a very...
it'd be tragic. You could be in a position of killing everybody.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's, even though it may be a white elephant, it is basically fireproof. It's made of steel and concrete.
And formerly known as escape-proof, although over the years there have been a few, haven't there?
Yes, no one's ever left there for very long. In other words, the escape's probably been less than the place of the... As far as the jail's concerned, it's somewhat an Alcatraz.
I think you told me once the farthest... the nearest to a successful break was a man who got about 4 blocks away on 12th Street and was shot. He engaged in a battle with police or something.
Even a little farther than that, he got his head shot off.
Oh. Well, that was permanent. Sheriff, there's the other side of the situation. There's the further side of the jail thing. Let's touch on that real quickly. You already were in a bind financially, and that's well known and has been publicly discussed.
Yeah, I think the public remembers that now a little better. Other people do.
But now the bind is going, whatever bind there was is increased, isn't it?
Yes. Of course, the old saying, it's an ill wind that doesn't blow anyone any good. Right now, we've got enough personnel up there temporarily, and most, great number of them aren't even being paid by the county. But as far as prisoners themselves, they're better protected from each other than in ordinary times. It takes us a little longer to feed. We'll have to start earlier and end up later, but we'll get the food prepared. And, it's going to be a job getting these cases classified and get them to trial. In other words, the policemen working long hours, having them available for witnesses and getting them ready for court is going to be something.
Practicing or protecting prisoners from each other. This is the thing, it seems to me. I know a lot of the controversy here is settled. It gets too easily off into a dull matter of budgets and numbers that people, after a while, at least in print, they look at it and, it's hard to dig it. And it looks like a fight, between the sheriff and the county court, and it is over money, but there's a public responsibility, and I think anybody ever got thrown into a jail and suddenly realized that law and order may have thrown him in there, but law and order may not be able to protect him from the other guy who got thrown in there.
As you can imagine, in the last few days, it's rather graphic how some of these individuals act on the outside. You can imagine when you confine them closer and they find someone weaker than they are, how they react. In other words, their frustrations are much greater after they've been captured and locked up. There isn't any question that they develop some more brutal tendencies when they are subjected to this.
Seems to me a great deal of that, as you've described it on this program and elsewhere, though, in the past. You get, in many cases, up to the borderline of where do you have a jail customer and where do you really have a mental patient.
That's true. In other words, every day we've made some studies recently in the jail, and I think this... Greek architect was here a few weeks ago, expressed the changes in cities, out in Manhattan. About 20% of the people walking around are mentals, and they're probably more frustrated because nobody pays much attention to them. They walk along the street out. You live in a small country town, and
least he belongs to the town.
That's right, and he feels that people do care something for him, but of course in a city like New York City, they don't say anything about it. But really, it's one of the gross, difficult things we have today to face in these cities, and I've discussed this with a lot of judges. We see these people time after time to the penitentiary, the revolving door, and back again. Then they come and they fall back down into these ghettos, and the people that live in the ghettos and have a hard time and are working hard sometimes. The husband and wife both are working and the family is working, yet they have to put up with having these people present on the streets, unmanageable, unemployable, and that's very unfortunate. When something comes like this, it calls the public attention more. Just what kind of people we have walking around in the city. We haven't enforced the vagrancy laws for many years, and largely because we don't have any place to put them. But I think it would be time to make some investment. We don't give enough police protection to these ghetto areas, and they have so many of these people, the alcoholics and the drug addicts, attorneys from the mental hospitals and the penitentiaries and the jails, they seem to gravitate and end up in these areas, and they're a immediate burden to the people that are least able to take care of them.
And I suppose very often some of those principal types you just described there are, given the situation like a general uprising, and it suddenly occurs right around the corner, and it turns out, you know, at such and such a corner, this is hell night and anything goes, then the types you've just described there, they're really going to have some of that.
Oh, yes, the day the riot started here, we picked up a 20-year-old white male outside of the courthouse carrying a French bayonet. That's a little larger than the type scabbard.
A French bayonet.
And so we took him to jail, but what to do with him? We find out we've never had him for crime, but we did transport him to Fulton a couple of years ago. In other words, Fulton State Hospital seems to get all of them, and he was too young to go to St. Joe, but he'd been released, and his family far away, no one interested in him. What really to do with him?
Yeah, you're not exactly running Boys Town up there.
No, it's not. But say that you have those people walking around, nobody caring much about them, and nobody controlling them, and cities are very poor places for them.
I wonder what you charge a guy with that's walking around with a French bayonet. It's not hardly a concealed weapon, is it?
No, we ended up trying to see if we couldn't get him back in the hospital. We're going to try to get him back to Fulton or one of the state agencies. Couldn't get a hold of any family. I don't know how he's getting along. But he didn't seem to care much. Somebody evidently was feeding him.
And somehow he learned where the action was, whatever kind of action
right,
it would be.
And he was rather afraid. He was kind of glad to be locked up.
I don't suppose, you know, that seems funny to us on the outside, but that's not the first time you've seen it.
Oh, no, and I mean, it is a big problem. Where are we going to put them?
Yeah, it's only...
Like now, I've seen people ask if we're crowded. I said, well, it's like a big hotel. We filled the sample rooms, and now it's the grand ballroom. We'll put mattresses on the floor in the grand ballroom. But by law, we're compelled to keep them.
Yeah. And the day they have to hang from the chandeliers, you ain't got any chandeliers.
By the way, we're setting up a little closed circuit television for visiting purposes. In other words, In other words, we are so overcrowded, ordinary visiting we'll not be able to handle on Saturday, but we're going to do the best we can. In other words,
nobody's going to be able to hand a guy a shiv through a television set, are they?
Well, and too, that we ought to be able to speak up. In other words, we've confined it before to 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on Saturday. than just certain members of the family, or that ones the prisoners designated. And
mm-hmm.
This way, without the visitors even coming inside of the jail, they can sit down with the earphones and look and talk with the prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these are young. The average jail age is 19, then 18, then 70.
The average jail age?
Is 19, and then 18, then 17. And then it goes up to 20, 21, up to 29, then falls off again.
How old is your oldest customer in the last month or so?
83, and of course you know what that means. That's frequently either senile, he's gone off on the sex route, or he's killed someone.
Yeah.
In other words, this one has never been in trouble in his life, but someone wasn't taking care of him.
Boy, I tell you, some people save up a long time long fuse, but it makes a lot of noise when it goes.
But there is something fine about as people grow older, they run out of gas as far as crime's concerned. We have usually when you get them past the age of 70, it's really sickness that's caught up with them.
Well, now besides the financial side of this, we mentioned a minute ago, there's the one other. The sheriff of Jackson County has a big concern, obviously, from all this conversation we've had, overseeing one of the larger jails in the country. And also one that's, I know from time to time, been commended by federal inspectors and so on. But you also have even though the cities fill up more and more of the county area, you still have patrol areas to be concerned with, and I suppose I know you did have men joining in the general situation here within the city, didn't you?
It's just a matter of losing their days off and working 12, 15 hours a day that we've been able to get along, but some people wear out. That's one thing that makes my problems a great up in the jail. If the county court my appropriation this morning, $150,000, I'm still in bad shape because you just can't go out and get trained guards overnight. This is something I've been trying to get ready for the last couple of years. I knew this was coming. In other words, it was in the future. In other words, you don't like to go around and wave the flag and excite everyone. Just know it takes some planning. I've got many people that are way up in years, and it disturbs me when we get too much activity. In other words, some of them, they're more subject to heart attacks. Older people, as employees in jail, are very dependable. In other words, you can well depend when they are unable to show up for work. They're really sick. They're conscientious. But on the other hand, some strains they can't handle, and because of their physical condition, they can't move into some of these situations that we have to move pretty fast on.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, I know you've had a day of it, and I bet, like the mayor we talked to you a little while ago, probably ready for a little rest if you can work some in.
Yes, I could. I say after the streets are cleared and the smoke's died down and guards and the State Highway Patrol left us, problems down at the jail are still going to be there.
Going to have to be.
And we'll work out some way. I mean, I've contacted various sheriffs where maybe we can put a few jails. The United States Marshals cooperating. We've had the number of federal prisoners down almost to the minimum for some time because of crowded. St. Joe and over at Liberty where they can house them. And, we must confine these people until the courts handle the cases, either release them or send them on to some institution.
Well, finally, with the curfew as well observed as it is tonight, I don't know whether you've come out of 12th Street side of the courthouse and had a look or not. When you look up that street, the one that's supposed to swing and sing, you could sure say there's a cold time in the old town tonight.
Yes, it is, but
that's better than too hot, isn't it?
You know, really, Walt, though, we've had this change for a long time, and there's a lot of things that have caused it. 12th Street's just not what it used to be. In other words, almost any night after 9 or 10 o'clock, the street's pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm. But even then, the...
Right down to 12 and Vine and see a little more activity, or get over to 12th and Wine out over...
Yeah.
Over to 12th and Broadway, but it's just not what it used to be.
And tonight it's not anything, I'll tell you.
No, in other words, the changes in the city, in other words, the streets are not safe in these cities, and even down on the plaza, the real estate and the businesses down there are valuable. They've got a lot of National Guard down there, but if you notice some of the merchants down there, although the iron grill work that they're putting inside the window is a little more architecturally acceptable, but they're having to protect their property down there just like they do around the 18th and Vine, where you see them
and along East 12th.
So the iron grill work over the windows.
That's right. But it isn't quite the same design.
Anyway,
so.
I hope people realize we're going to have more policemen. They especially need more policemen in these areas where this rioting has occurred. In other words, the police that have to work in those areas, it's pretty rough all the time.
Well, but one more.
They're not understood.
One more while we're at it, though. You know, you're in this very deeply, and yet at this moment you're able to back off a little bit and look at it. For the ultimate solution, it takes more. Yes, you restore order by force, and you can keep a good measure of it by a lot of force. But ultimately, it's going to call for more than this, and ultimately, it's going to call for a lot of understanding and a lot of conversation and a great deal of exchange of views that means more than what's taken place in the past. Have you any notions of what really in the long haul is going to lower the pressure in this great boiler that's blown up?
Well, I think the first thing that we're going to have to take these Typhoid Marys off the street. Now, these people, as I say, are these socially unmanageable that are on the streets down there where the people are least able to look out for them, and where we don't have enough police officers. I don't say put them all in penitentiaries and jails, but put them out in some kind of camps like we had for CCC, the training. Quite a few of the men that were brought in night before last were engaged in some of these educational and training programs, and at the same time they were out looting. But it shows that some people, you know, they weren't always bad people, but in the old days they had pest houses in almost every town and city to take the people that had some contagious disease. They'd take them to the edge of town and let them stay there till they got well or until they died. And, of course, the doctors developed immunization and vaccination for different diseases where we don't even have contagious disease wards in the hospitals anymore. But I can't help but believe that we can't go on with this on-the-job training. Some of these people are unemployable, and I'm afraid some of them will always be unemployable, but some of them might be made employable. But I don't think you can let them go along business as usual, and like a veteran does on the GI Bill of Rights, go to school and live there at the same place, because they're just too unstable. Maybe if you get them in a more controlled surrounding and try to teach them. Of course, some of them will say that...
But out of the whole Negro population, when you speak of at least the black man who's in
I'm
this state...
I'm talking about blacks and whites. white.
I know
you
are. And, you know, the bottom-rung white man is even more out of the picture in the sense that, you know, there isn't even any noise about him, for that matter. But we're still talking about a very small percentage in either race, aren't we?
We've got these people off the street now that have been arrested with the police, and it's a very small. In other words, my population in jail is large, but it still isn't up at about 145
mm-hmm.
total. In other words, by taking 145 people off the street in this town, relatively calm is restored.
What I was really getting at is this small proportion in either race.
That's right.
So often the law officer is accused of having an unusually large amount of whatever form of racism there is, and I think it's important to, especially for one in your position, to double back on it to some degree. I'm trying to make the appeal to people to remember that if you see a white man shoots Dr. King, or you see some black men are rioting, that you don't automatically the next day, every time you see anyone with that color face, whichever color you have, put them down as being part of that. You know?
Well, that's certainly right. In other words, there isn't any race has a corner on the market on much, you know. We have them all colors and all sizes and all shapes. And the fact that we might have a few more, a lot of people have the misconception that the jail is just loaded with Negroes, and we have more Negroes than whites. We possibly have more in proportion, but probably today, because of these late disturbances, we've at this time, probably for the first time, have more Negro prisoners in jail than whites. But
ordinarily, it's the other way.
Ordinarily, it's the other way. Of course, proportionally, we probably do have more Negroes, but we got more Negroes living in these ghetto areas than we do whites.
Well, Sheriff, I appreciate your taking this long and this late, because I know this wasn't your easiest day,
I'll tell you good night, because I'm going to have to get started early in the morning, Walt.
I know it. You got to get up in 15 minutes, I bet. So we'll say good night, and thanks a lot.
Winks. Let's say 15 winks.
Okay, and good night. Make the most of those.
God bless you, Walt.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
All right. There he is, the man. We have affectionately called the High Sheriff of Jackson County, Sheriff Arvid Owsley, the man with probably as busy a jail as any sheriff in America at the moment, but going through, I guess, what many another sheriff has gone through in these last few years. Well, you're listening to Nightbeat, and it's on WHB. We're coming right up here to where we're going to tell you a little more about that. And we'll remind you that tomorrow night we have the Bridge Over Generation Gap with psychological counselor Christine Todd along with us to help us bridge the generation gap. We're counting, by the way, on tomorrow night, as we have hoped every night, but I think maybe possible tomorrow night, and getting back pretty much to a normal schedule, naturally yielding at any time for news, as we will tonight from now until 1 a.m., at any time something newsworthy comes along. Right now, though, we'll pause for you know what.
This is Nightbeat.
A big trick for a morning man. This is Nightbeat moving along. And as we move along, by the way, we'd be glad to see anything further that might be from news or a late summary or temperatures, if there's anything you gentlemen have in there to pass along. As we sort of round out this half hour on a night when it seemed to us that if things are cooler, we'd do best to cool it a little too, and just sort of talk in a reflective way about things. And you, in the course of the evening, have heard three of the individuals who've been right central figures in this matter, and it's imposed, of course, heavy burdens on them, and they probably will have plenty of additional problems yet to come, and maybe controversy too. But Mayor Ilas W. Davis of Kansas City, for one, Joseph Teasdale, a sheriff of Jackson, County, Arvid Owsley, backing up on Mr. Teasdale, he is prosecutor. Bud Carter is the news director of WHP News. He's trying to get out the door before I ask him something. But is everything calm back there? We haven't talked too much about the monitors, but just how are they sounding by now? Or
there's some scattered incidents. I just picked up a 15-year-old youngster who put up a little bit of a fight, and I think there's one situation that we wanted to tell everyone about. A Kansas City police officer, under the stress and strain of long hours and very demanding work, suffered a heart attack downtown just a short time ago. He's been sped to General Hospital. At first, it was feared that the attack had been fatal. We understand now the officer is alive, thanks to some tremendous work by the fire department. He's not yet identified, and we're hoping to have his name after the family is notified and a condition report. I think that, you know, sometimes we forget about the after effects and the side effects that something has, situation has like this.
Mm-hmm. Bear that police officer in mind, sir, and get yourself some sleep, old friend. Now then, you run on nervous energy after a while. Many of our people do. Tom Lynch of the Kansas City Kansan and WHB News correspondent will be phoning on Victor 2 here in a little while to sort of round up the Kansas side of things. So we welcome Tom Lynch. There, I bet you're even now. Looks to me like we might be seeing him. Hello there. Is that Tom? Well, Tom, let's see here. We'll set up for Victor 2 once more, and I think we're even now on the radio. What do you think of that?
How about that?
How are you, sir?
Well, it's virtually quiet in Kansas.
There you are. Where are you in Kansas City, Kansas?
I'm at the command headquarters for the police department here in City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And as it is right now, everybody is wondering when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. And
hoping maybe it won't at all?
Please?
And hoping maybe
hoping
it won't?
Hoping not at all, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The National Guardsmen are still at their checkpoints on the inner city viaduct and other thoroughfares into the city.
You've been in both cities. Is the curfew any tighter or different or conducted in any different way on the Kansas side of the line than it is over here?
Well, I don't think there's as much traffic over here as there possibly is in Missouri. If a car is seen, it's stopped. People are advised the curfew is on. And then they're back, you know, and told to go on home.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't?
If they don't, they're brought in and booked for violation of the curfew.
Have you any idea if they booked very many that way?
I don't believe I think they had about four or five arrests tonight.
Well, it's a good citizenry that can catch on that fast.
For drinking violations, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If that many.
A lot of what you're seeing, in other words, around police headquarters, just what you'd see on any night.
True. The canteen is working in the alley, keeping officers with coffee and soft drinks and hot dogs and this sort of stuff. And as it is now, virtually all the traffic on Minnesota Avenue at this time is police vehicles watching the buildings as such. 10 checkpoints are set up throughout the city, coming into the city, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And these are manned by National Guardsmen and police officers.
Just to, if you're coming into one of those, they really want to know.
Yes.
If you're coming to the city, what for? Is that it?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Most people.
That ain't the welcome wagon.
No, they're not handing out coffee or rolls.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the command post, there's only three of us now, as it is.
No kidding. Not even a fourth for bridge.
Well, the National Guard is here, and one of the detectives. As it is, though, the National Guard here, some of those that are on patrol in the city now were activated today, as most everyone knows. So they're wondering what's going to happen, too.
But we can hope, maybe, that what you see now is what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Maybe
sane heads have prevailed, and maybe there's enough communication and good faith going both ways that whatever problems there are on the Sunflower side of the river will get ironed out. Do you feel there are as many feelings, for instance, over here, there's been feeling, of course, directed toward police department, and there's been feeling directed toward the school system and the superintendent, Mr. Hazlitt in particular, by some of the critics. Do you have similar matters over there, or is it just the chance that in a time of unrest you might get a display of saying?
I don't believe that we've had any of those type of problems at all over here, because everything has been handled so, shall we say, efficiently by all parties involved here.
Mm-hmm.
Both police, National Guard, and school officials.
Of course,
school officials here went along with the Missouri officials as... for dismissing classes today to the start of Easter vacation and this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it seemed to me they moved very quickly there, and the same way with the curfews, quickly and decisively, and that was it.
Yeah, it was more or less Missouri would take the first step, and then we were ready at the time. I mean, they'd been working throughout the night on something like this anyway.
Joe McDowell's a very able mayor, I think, and one who stays pretty closely tuned in to people and what they think and feel, and I think the temper and spirit of the community.
He was here earlier this evening, and I talked to him briefly. He said that things seemed rather quiet, and he was rather glad that the curfew worked out as it did. And,
fair enough.
As if those coming across the inner city viaduct that don't have any business are immediately turned around and sent back. This is the situation.
And for the very old-timers, we might say, if you remember how Minnesota Avenue looked on VJ Day, why, this is just the opposite, right?
Well, I couldn't say for sure, Walt.
No, you're not one of the old-timers.
Mayor McDowell was out on the street tonight, and also he did ride the streets a while tonight, checking the situation over, talking to some of the men on the street.
Very good.
And, of course, all the units, the men are working 12 hours. So everything here is quiet, and it's very calm in City Hall. The usual people working on reports as such are just waiting for the morning shift to arrive.
Well, it's been very nice to talk with you, and I know you're probably, you're anxious to see the morning relief arrive for you, too, whenever it comes.
Yeah, it will at 6 o'clock.
Oh, 6 o'clock. Keen.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll call you up about 3 in the morning and just to wake you up.
May not be here.
Tom Lynch of the Kansas City, Kansan, and WHB News correspondent. Thank you so much.
Okay, that's about it from here.
Nice to hear you.
Good night.
Good night. A good man, Tom Lynch, and he, by the way, is the fellow who kept you so ably informed last night from police headquarters. No, fire headquarters, pardon me, on Hospital Hill. Fire headquarters, where they have a battery of telephone operators who answer and who dispatch fire equipment from all over the city to, and have to make, you know, spot decisions, how much goes, how many trucks go, and how much do we roll out for this, that, or the other location where a fire is reported. That's the day-to-day business of a fire headquarters. It's just that they had more business than they ever saw before, I guess, yesterday. It is 20 minutes until 1. You're listening to Night Beat on WHB 710, talking radio in Kansas City that talks weeknights from 10 to 1. We'll again tomorrow night, attempting a difficult task of bridging the generation gap between the young people who say, I can't talk to my folks, or I can't talk to you people that run things today because you're always putting us down. You don't think a teenager knows anything. And on the other hand, the adult who says, look at them with those haircuts. They're a disgrace. What would they know? And the truth is, both have a lot to give each other, but the communication gap is pretty bad. We're trying to set up a sort of a human switchboard consisting of talk and thought that will maybe make a little gap, a little bridge over that gap. As we're going to the home stretch here on WHB Night Beat tonight,
The temperature in Kansas City is 65 degrees. The humidity, 37%. Wind south, 17 miles an hour, which is a fair little wind for tonight. Out at Kansas City International Airport, it's 63 degrees, and in St. Joseph, it's 61 with a humidity of 38, and they have a south wind of 12. It's been kind of a warmish day today. We got up to 84 at the warmest, and overnight, the coolest it was in the last 24 hours was 51 degrees, so spring is here. Nobody was complaining that it was too cool anyway. This is Night Beat in Kansas City. Baltimore 18300 is not riding there wide open tonight for calls, simply because we feel like maybe just for this one night we'll cool it, try to give you information from this end, talk along with you, and be ready to hear you in an open line again on Monday and tomorrow night, bridging the communications gap between the generations. I hope you'll join us. Now there's... There are too many more things here, really, for us to touch on. Little things, perhaps. I'll tell you one oddity that's quite interesting. I haven't heard anyone mention this up to now, and it only occurred to me this evening. This evening, as I was listening to police radio and contemplating the curfew and the fact that it was being so much better observed than the night before, I suddenly realized, here are a few, we hear quite a few things that are related to the kind of activity we had the previous night that was really riot activity. But here and there we were hearing more or less a routine police call, the kind you'd hear any night. I suddenly realized there's one kind of routine police call that you'd hear any night, and usually several times every hour, that you weren't hearing at all. And that was when you'll hear the dispatcher come on and say, number 5506, such and such an intersection, a vehicular. Or where you hear him call what's called an AIU car, accident investigation unit. These are cars with rather large districts, but they respond only to accidents where there's heavy property damage, or where there's injury, or where there's death, and where an extensive investigation will be necessary in the circumstances. You see them... Only you might say at the bigger wrecks, they're the guys you see out with the camera taking the picture and the tape measure, measuring the skid marks and all the rest. I listened for hours and no vehiculars, you know. That's one thing. I guess the only, the sheriff said a minute ago, it's an ill wind that blows nobody good. So for the people who might have been killed in traffic in the last 48 hours at night, or in accidents and head-on collisions and all the rest, and who simply weren't on the street to do it, why, maybe they're the few people for whom that ill wind did blow good. It's a strange thing, as I say, to listen all evening long to a police radio, and frankly, I never once heard a wreck. And I'll bet you that they're having an all-time low these two nights in the number of motor vehicle accidents in the city in general. Another interesting little side note, earlier tonight, much earlier, by the way, bus service in general knocked off somewhere around 8 o'clock. So somewhere a little after 8, the police dispatcher informed the patrol cars, because wherever, in times like these, if a patrol car is coming along and they see a body of people moving along, a whole bunch of guys, let's say, walking along, well, what are they going to think? They're going to wonder, well, is this connected some way, or where are they headed, or what kind of trouble is this? And so the police dispatcher was constrained to come on and point out to all patrol cars that a group of Army inductees were walking from the induction center, which I believe is over around, the Union Station area there somewhere, from the induction center to the Kansas City Inn Hotel over near 12th and Broadway, where they're quartered overnight. And the police dispatcher came on and notified all the cars that a group of Army inductees are now walking from the induction center to the Kansas City Inn, because that's the way he put it on the air, their only means of transport. They didn't have any way to get there otherwise. Obviously, some patrol car had stopped them and asked, what's all this? And when informed, he passed it on, and then that way they wouldn't be subjected to interrogation and investigation every single time they turned around. Funny, too, about other things. I don't care how big a crisis you have or what form it may take. There are a lot of people that will turn it to their particular... they will see it in the light of whatever thing obsesses them the most, you know. I've had people call... one man, for instance, called... we had a particular invention that he felt would be useful in dealing with riot situations. And he sees each riot simply as time to restate the case for that. He may be right, but he needs to restate it to the patent office and police officials and others, maybe. Another man who has for a long time sent me literature attacking the Federal Reserve System on various grounds sent me sort of an open letter which he'd written going to President of the United States and others, and primarily relating all of this present critical situation in some way. I didn't have a chance to read the whole letter. I will to the Federal Reserve System. Figure that out. So, as we say, it's been a blessedly much quieter night tonight, and we are hearing less and less, but for a time tonight, sure, and there have been spots where there were snipers, all right, and where the rifle squads had to go into action, but in general, many, many more times, it was a matter of a reported this or a reported that, a sniper or a fire, and then a checking out at the scene and finding out that whatever it was, either was nothing or it was short-lived and over almost before the police or the National Guard or other forces could arrive on the scene. So, the curfew, by the way, too, people were very well aware of the fact that stores were shutting down, you know, and a lot of supermarkets were closing down, 6:30, 7 o'clock, so on. And I know I went in one supermarket on my way down here, figuring, well, I'll grab a little lunch ham and some bread, and if we get hungry, you know, restaurants where we can make a sandwich, you know, and have it here for any of us that want it. Man, they're sold out of bread. It must have been sandwich night. Wasn't a loaf of bread in the whole place, and it's a very big supermarket. And the place was full of people. It was like a locust plague. Everybody, it was like it was the last day for supermarkets, you know. Whereas tomorrow they'll be back in business as usual, first thing in the morning. So, there isn't a whale of a lot more to say, I'd say, tonight. We still have that statement in there by Fred the Hammer Williamson, though. The control room is looking there, and they have it, and I think it's something eminently worth repeating. It's one of the best statements, I think. I've heard a lot of people on the air today saying various things and making pleas, the cool it message, you might say. This one, I think, is different in the ring of it, and it's different because of the authority of the man who says it, Fred the Hammer Williamson, very strong and controversial pro player, football player, and a man that's just, he's nobody's man except his own, and yet he has something that's very much on his heart that he wants to say to, especially to younger people, I think, and we are proud to be the vehicle to pass it on.
This is Fred Williamson, better known as the Hammer, and I'm appealing to the Negro community. I'm appealing as a fellow Negro, a blood brother, not as an Uncle Tom, because those of you who know me know that I'm not an Uncle Tom. But the fighting and shooting and looting that's going on in the Negro community is not necessary. And it pains me and hurts me deeply when I read about or hear about one of my fellow brothers being shot or killed in the street. All the professional athletes throughout the country have organized a union. The name of this union is NIEU Union. Last week, we got $520,000 from the Ford Foundation. This week, we're bringing in over $100,000 in this community alone. This organization that we have is not a talking organization. It's an action organization. And we'd like for you to have faith in us so we can sit down and talk to the people that are responsible for the things that have happened. And I guarantee you things will be done because we have the money to back up what we say. And this is the only way that we can fight. We have to fight on a economical and social level. We cannot fight in the streets with guns and weapons. We cannot win this way. We must stop doing this before more of our people are hurt. Thank you.
There he is. That's the man, Fred the Hammer Williamson, and talking about this new organization, NIEU. And an action group, he says. And action seems to be what many of the young want. And fair enough. And I hope we'll have the chance to have him be here and maybe go into further detail about what he does mean and maybe even carry on a dialogue right here by means of talking radio where many young people anywhere in the city that can get to a phone can call him, talk to him directly. And then everybody maybe gets educated along the lines of how the other guy feels. We always know how we feel, and we love to tell it over and over. It's much harder to understand, care, and figure what the other guy feels. In the light of emergencies such as we've seen in Kansas City and elsewhere, one interesting thing the Defense Department has done lately that I think deserves some interest and commendation is came to us the other day in a news release. They've introduced a plan to help our cities overcome a serious shortage of police recruits. Under the plan, a GI can be released from the armed services up to 90 days before his normal discharge date if he joins a civilian police force. Also, more than 40 cities are being allowed to set up recruiting campaigns for policemen at certain military bases. At some bases, there will be courses in civilian law enforcement for GIs who are interested. We'll be coming up now in just about three more minutes here with the latest in news. There isn't a whole lot more to say tonight except that we're very glad that things have turned out as they have. Tonight, at least, there hasn't been more and worse action than there was, and certainly a lot less than the night before, and we could hope that it will hold. That is in the hands of other people, however, and we'll just have to kind of wait and see what the circumstances do turn out to be. We're going to wind up by saying, I think our public officials have been very intelligent here in this day, and maybe it's helped the matter along by not engaging in a lot of self-congratulation and not prematurely declaring the situation solved and under control and all over with and cooled, but instead just cautiously hoping and working toward the resolution of it all and trying to bring it to an end. And we hope that is indeed what is now on its way to happening. Not just an end to the trouble, because an end to the trouble would simply be an intermission. Maybe an end to the senseless trouble and the beginning of a sensible discussion between the races who have in common their humanity and maybe in common those of faith, a common father who doesn't like to see us all fight this way. That's it for tonight. This is Walt Bodine for WHB Nightbeat. Tomorrow night, The Bridge, A Generation Gap, with Christine Todd, counseling psychologist, as our guest. Coming up now, WHB News, followed by the musical Dan O'Shea Show.
At 12:55, 64 degrees, the forecast calling for unseasonably warm weather. Bud Carter reporting the news. The situation in Kansas City tonight, a situation that was greatly calmed in comparison with the violence that racked the city's east side just 24 hours ago. Reporting by direct report from the police command headquarters, WHB Newsman Leif Williams.
Kansas City police and beefed up patrols of National Guardsmen and state troopers kept the lid on Kansas City last night. It was a different atmosphere at police headquarters and on city streets, virtually deserted after an area-wide curfew was placed into effect at 7 o'clock. Officers have been less grim as they've been filing in and out of the central command post here, the office of Chief Clarence Kelly. From this vantage point, direction has gone to the field command headquarters at the World War II building at Linwood and Paseo. That area came under sniper fire tonight, but it was quickly alleviated. Actually, it's been almost a complete reversal of the way things were going 24 hours earlier. Wednesday night, snipers were pinning firemen and policemen down, and the east central part of the city was aflame with damaging fires. The fire loss that's been pegged at more than $500,000. There were fires tonight, about 13 of them, but they were not as serious tonight by far as they were last night. Two men accused of snipers were booked, and one other gun-toter was arrested. White men nabbed in separate incidents shortly before 11 o'clock. Charged with carrying concealed weapons, possession of marijuana, and felonious assault were 24-year-old Wesley Cox and 21-year-old Leo Constanza, both of Kansas City. Also arrested on a charge of carrying a concealed weapon was 41-year-old Richard Bourjain. Chief Kelly, who emerged from his office to talk with newsmen, said the arrests were significant, and in response to questions, he added, some information is being developed that indicated there might be some agitators from out of the city who had been helping fan the flames of the disorder. Neither Kelly nor Mayor Ilas Davis would say the trouble was over, nor talk about the possibility of a curfew that might be in effect again tonight. That question, they said, will be discussed thoroughly today, later today, and this morning, and a decision reached. But last night and this morning, the policy of containment seemed to let officers get the upper hand, and weary policemen still on duty were almost ready to start relaxing, if only slightly. Leif Williams at Kansas City Police Headquarters.
It was a tired but obviously relieved Mayor Ilas Davis had left the police command post at about midnight. The mayor had been with the brass of police intelligence through a night of skirmishes, but no major battles. Before leaving headquarters, the mayor spoke with...